I welcome once again into the studio John Rossi from Valley Charities. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Good morning.
So you have been here actually many times, and Valley Charities continues to do, as I can see, some very good work. But you're kind of everywhere, and well, I'll let you tell the story. Go for it.
Well, we, as our board, has really wanted to make a difference in the community and reach out to more people. So about 8 years ago, the board had me put in to be a fiscal agent for housing assistance funds to bring into the Valley. And so over the course of about 8 years, we've brought about $7 million into the community as the lead agency, and we have dispersed those funds to agencies like My House and the Family Promise and Salvation Army and a variety of other charity type of organizations that have helped other people in the community and have helped us reach our mission of reaching out and helping as many people as possible, connecting those who need help with the help that they need.
So you have a board, and how many people are on that board?
There are five, but we have up to seven, so we're looking for an additional two people at the moment.
Okay. What kind of people do you want?
Oh, gosh, people that are passionate about helping other folks in the community, who want to do good deeds for folks, helping in different areas of whether it be housing assistance or reentry or whatever makes a difference in the community to help us be healthy.
Okay, this is a little side note, but it's an important one because boards of organizations do a lot of often unheralded work. How often does this board meet? What kind of commitment, if someone is listening to this and saying, it sounds like a good mission, what would they be committing to if they made it to the board?
That's a good question. Looking at probably about 9 board meetings a year at the moment.
Okay.
And about an hour and a half per month. And then if there's any other things that people would like to get involved with while they're on the board, like, for example, Project Connect is something that we're heavily involved with, donating clothing. And so board members, as well as myself, all have a presence there to help distribute the clothing.
Now, Project Connect, is that housed over there at the Health Foundation building?
No, it's Project Homeless Connect. It's a once-a-year event.
Right. I remember
it's in January 23rd, over at the Menard Center.
Got it. Okay. That's good to correct that and make sure that people understand that the word connect is found in a variety of places.
That's it. Yes, but a variety of places, a variety of ways used.
Okay. Well, hopefully someone listening out there will say, you know, I might be able to do something like that. Who would they contact?
They would contact me at 907-376-5740, and I can talk with them more about it, or I can connect them with our board president, who's Henry Woodall at the present time.
Okay. Well, very good. Let's go on with the rest of the story. So you have managed – where does all this money come from that you were able to put together?
Great question. A large majority of the housing assistance funds comes from Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. They make a huge difference in our community, and people – I don't think they realize just how much money is contributed by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. It's not only – through the Homeless Assistance Program grant, but they also are a pass-through with federal funds for the Emergency Solutions funds that we get. And we get probably the most in a community of any of the communities around the state. We're recognized by Alaska Housing Finance Corporation as a great partner and a great steward of the funds and helping several people. So we're very proud of that.
And I'm sure that when people hear AHFC, Housing Finance, they're thinking about houses and financing, mortgages perhaps,
exactly.
And not fully understand the way in which that organization has operated for many years.
Yeah. Exactly. And they fund lots of projects, lots of building projects in the community to help increase housing opportunities.
But you're not the – that's not your only source of funds.
No, that's a primary source for our housing assistance. But
right.
We also get funds from Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and the state of Alaska for reentry programs that we have going on.
Okay.
As well as Matsu Health Foundation, who's also been a great partner here in the
right.
Valley.
So is there an office for Valley Charities somewhere?
Yeah, we're located right next to the thrift store off 400 North Yenlo, right behind the car store in Wasilla,
okay.
Next to the post office.
Right.
That's where we're located. And
the thrift store. Tell us about the thrift store. Is that something separate?
It's an entity that we oversee as Valley Charities.
Okay.
It's a great place to buy some great Christmas gifts, and it also is filled with philanthropic means. By that I mean we have a medical equipment lending program for folks in the Valley. And whatever they happen to be, if a lot of people will come to us as a transition between when their insurance will kick in and get them medical equipment and when they need it.
Right.
So we'll help
right.
them in that regard. And we've probably helped save the community about $125,000 every year just lending out equipment to save them money. They either will have it for a six-month period of time
right.
or they'll have it for a shorter period of time until their insurance kicks in. And then we also have a voucher program that we end up giving out about $25,000 in kind to the community on clothing that they may need that they can't afford. And that's another thing that people don't realize is that we're not just a thrift store with very good prices, but we're also very much involved with giving back to the community. And we've been doing that since the 1950s. And that's a myth. People think that we've been around since 2009, because that's when we built our new building. But
sure.
we've actually been around since the 1950s supporting this community.
Reaching way back, you probably were not involved with it in the 1950s.
That's probably a pretty good guess.
I'm just guessing there. So do you have some reference to that history and the transition and growth evolution of the organization?
Sure. It started out with an association with Easter Seals, which is how we got connected with medical equipment.
Okay.
And it's morphed through the years, changed names. The first original thrift store in Wasilla, it was under the name of the White Elephant Thrift Store, and morphed into MCMSCCA.org thrift store.
Right.
Then it was the Treasure Loft Thrift Store, and now it's Turtle Leap. Thrift store.
Okay.
And so over the years, it's changed names. We've moved around the Wasilla community, and we're staying where we're at right now so that people know where to find us.
You mentioned a new building in 2009.
Yes.
Okay. So and it doesn't sound as if you have plans for either moving or extending your building or anything. Is it pretty much what you find that works well?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're there to stay.
Okay. The other, having some sense of the organization as it went from the 50s and on to today, the population of the Valley, and going back to the 50s or 80s or whatever, was far smaller than it is today. So the population has grown, and also the relative needs of different groups of people within the community have also changed. How has the organization adapted itself to meet all of those changes?
Well, what we've done is we've fine-tuned so that we're I guess you could say that we're treating folks with more respect than we have in the past. And by that I mean, when we had the voucher program about 10 years ago, we were actually writing things down for people when they came through the line. And so they were identified as those people.
Oh.
And so what we are doing now is we're treating them like any other customer, and they come through the line, and we ring up their items like they were buying things, and they're on their way, so that there's not that stigma attached to those people. We're also reaching more people by going out into communities up north into Willow, as well as into Talkeetna, to reach people with.
And that's new.
That's about 5 years old.
Okay.
But we've been doing that to reach people with medical equipment, also with our housing assistance, and also with the notice letting them know that we do have voucher programs in kind.
So that's telling people about it. Do people still have to come into Wasilla, or do you have some kind of outreach that actually does stuff there?
The outreach is through our housing assistance program, where we actually have a case manager go up to Willow twice a month, and have a case manager go up to the Sunshine Clinic twice a month.
Okay.
So that way folks don't have to travel down to Wasilla. It's ironic that they're looking for funds, and if they're traveling all the way down to Wasilla, they're losing money with gas. So
sure.
we want to save them as much funds as we can.
Housing assistance, housing assistance. Walk through that a little bit. Someone describing perhaps someone who would, that person that would need it, how that would work, so that listeners have a sense of what goes with housing assistance.
Sure. There are certain qualifiers, and that's where our case managers come in. There's income qualifiers as well as the type of need that they have. But in most cases, folks that qualify will come in. They get interviewed over the phone. That's one significant thing that I want to mention is that folks need to call agencies, not go into agencies. They call to save them time and the case manager's time.
Okay.
Because if they don't qualify, then it saves them a trip in.
Yeah.
And they can find out what they need. But we help folks, like, for example, a family that has just moved up here. They're promised a job and they're promised housing and things of that sort, and then all that falls through. So we will help a family get started with a housing or with paying off a utility bill. We found it's less expensive to get somebody started in housing to pay that first month's rent than it is to prevent them from becoming homeless. And we're very good at keeping people off the streets and helping them stay in their homes. That's what we've been very successful with. Kind of the upstream funding? Mm-hmm. So that they don't have to get into that situation of finding a home?
Sure. So numbers, any sense so that people have, we've talked about the dollar amounts in the past, you know, the thrift store and so on, but in terms of people helped, some sense of how many people flow through the services?
Over the course of a year, we're helping anywhere from 1,500 to 1,800 people.
Whoa.
And averaging about $550 per assist.
Okay.
For folks, and that's involving rent, utilities, anything associated with keeping somebody in their housing.
Okay. So you're in a very good position to note, take a little bit of the vital signs of the community. How would you say 2018 has been, and in some predictive sense, where are we going in 2019 with the need that you meet?
We have found that when things get cut in the budget for the state, that mm-hmm. we see that need increase, and a lot of that need has been with the energy assistance. So we find that we're helping people quite a bit with utilities.
Right.
We're also finding that we're helping people like the seniors that are needing some help because those funds have been cut a little bit. Obviously, the dividend had a big impact. We normally find the month of October is a month that we don't see a great deal of need because people have their dividends.
Right.
We saw a much quicker turnaround this year where we're helping people much sooner, as soon as November, the beginning of November, when we typically don't see folks coming to us for assistance until the latter part of November or into December.
Okay. Well, you've mentioned the dividend, and of course, closely associated with the dividend is the Pick, Click, and Give program. How has that worked directly for your organization?
Well, unfortunately, it hasn't worked as well as we'd like it to have worked. What people don't realize is that when they donate to Valley Charities, they're donating to all of the causes that we're involved with, helping people stay in houses, helping with the voucher program, helping with medical equipment, helping with the thrift store, a variety of different causes that we've been contributing to the community over the last 60-plus years. And so when you're thinking about Valley Charities, don't just think about us as an entity that has brought money into the community and disperses it out, because we're also an entity that needs funds behind the scenes to operate these other programs that are not funded by grants.
Okay.
So that's what we'd like people to remember.
Okay. Okay. You're participating in Pick, Click, and Give this year?
Yes.
Okay. We've talked a little bit about that. I actually went to the website, noted that it has almost every year, it's been nicely upgraded. It seems ever smooth to use it. I find that I time myself, and I think I can do this the whole thing in about 2 minutes. Go to the website, complete the online paperwork for the permanent fund dividend check and make a selection, if I thought about it, on pick, click, and give and be done.
You're a veteran.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of veterans out there. I think that's part of the thing, that a vast majority of people now who receive the dividend check and will be receiving one next year have already received it. And as a result, they typically have, in some cases, been doing this for many years. And the web interface, I think, just gets better. Well, witness that there, I cannot find too many people. I occasionally find people that still do a paper one, but mm-hmm. not many.
Yeah, it's much easier online.
Yeah, much easier.
Less time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with you.
Fast.
One thing I wanted to mention that I had to mention earlier is that the board decided, again, about 8 years ago, to put together an endowment. The endowment's focus is to grow it to a point where we can then grant funds to individuals, not to organizations, but to individuals in the community that are kind of falling through the cracks. Oh. Need some help. You know, okay. the type of individual that wouldn't get help through grants or whatever the case may be. And it's designed to, it's a kind of a wellness type of situation where somebody may need help with, let's say, a car repair that will help them pay the mortgage or with medical expenses of some kind. But
sure.
They're all going to be smaller types of grants so we can help as many people as possible. And that's another part of where the Pick, Click, Give funds would go, is to help with that endowment. And okay. We're probably about $10,000 away from being able to activate a use of those funds.
All right. Mike Malevsky and I have been talking with John Rossi from Valley Charities. We've been talking about a whole bunch of things that are involved with that organization. Any other comments you'd like to make to have listeners understand better what Valley Charities is all about?
I would like to encourage people to go to our website. We have lots of information on our website. Please feel free to call me at my office line, the 376-5740, and welcome to talk more about what it is that we do. And other than that, I on behalf of the organization, wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thank you, John, for coming in.